Chapter 32, Lori, at first, I thought I tried to deal with my grief from Susie's death by myself. But the firecracker Lori came back to my mind in the middle of all that was happening. I decided she might be a good person to have in my life. I was going to have to open up. I would have to tell her all that had happened to me. For more than 20 years I had kept my childhood a secret from my friends. The abduction, the mansions, the trips, even church farm school. The few times I talked about the past, I talked about it in the third person. As if it had happened to somebody else, it felt like time to lay it all out. I gathered my newspaper with the 14-page article from the Philadelphia Inquirer, some pictures from Woodmont, and a few childhood photos my mom had taken, and put them all in a big manila envelope and called Lori. Can I come over? Yes, of course. I drove to Lori's house and tears silently fell down my cheeks. When I knocked on her door, I'm sure I looked as exhausted as I felt. Lori would later tell me I looked gray and expressionless. When she opened the door, she took one look at me and said, "Oh, Tommy, I'm so sorry. Please come in." Before moving an inch, I replied, "Lori, there are things about me that you don't know, and when you know, then you might want nothing to do with me." "You are in shock, Tommy," she said. Her big brown eyes staring back at me with concern. She had no idea. "My life is complicated, Lori. Will you read something? It might help to explain." Her dog PJ was there, but instead of getting excited like he normally did, he stayed calm and quiet. It was like he knew something serious was happening. I handed her the envelope and walked in. I sat down on the sofa and let myself go and melted right into the cushions. PJ jumped up and snuggled against my leg. I tilted my head back and nodded off. When I opened my eyes again, the sun was gone. I thought I was alone, but I heard noise from the TV coming from another room. My eyes were hazy. I must have been asleep for a long time. I wondered what Lori thought now. I called out her name and said, "I'm sorry." When she came back into the room, "There's nothing to be sorry about," Lori replied. "Do you know what happened to your sister?" "Yes, but I don't want to talk about it." She nodded, and there was a quiet between us for a moment. I read the article. I don't really understand what it all means yet. Father Divine was a god, and I was his son, I said, looking down. Like I said, it's complicated. I didn't know it, but while I slept, she had gone to the public library to get books on Father Divine. She knew a lot about me and my peculiar past now, and yet she didn't treat me any differently. We sat side by side that night, watching TV and snacking. It was so comfortable, like being with an old friend. She didn't ask me any questions. She just let me rest. When I started to drift off again, she brought me a pillow and blanket and went to her room to sleep. The next morning, Lori told me about checking out the books, and said she spent the night reading. I have so many questions. But really, the first one I would like to ask is, why you, Tommy? Why did Father Divine choose you, Tommy? I don't know, I replied. I had never really thought about that. I only know what happened and what I was told. Lori seemed to be lost in thought. I could tell she wasn't going to let the question go. I spent the entire weekend with her. On Monday morning, my mobile phone rang. It was Detective Fisk.